Tonight we're turning to Psalm 119. I have not forgotten the series that we started last week, but there was some doubt as whether we could meet tonight and whether we would have to have it taped, and so we are going to a different portion as I've been praying over the Word, and the Lord has brought my attention to this psalm tonight. And so tonight we're looking at the very last verse of Psalm 119. Obviously, a long psalm. There are 176 verses. That is due to the fact that there are 8 verses per stanza, and each stanza reflects one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet times 8, 176 verses. And tonight, it's the very last verse that I want to draw your attention to. So let's read down to that verse, starting at 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have long for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to this reading from his inspired word. Tonight I want to speak to you about getting victory over this flesh. You'll note that in this psalm, at the very last verse, that the psalmist speaks of the fact that his heart had gone astray. This tells us that Christians have difficulty with the flesh. They have difficulty with walking according to God's way. But when you look at the man who is writing this, he is more than just a believer. He is a very diligent man. He is a man who's been diligent in the study of God's word, in the use of the means of grace when it came to God's word, and yet he has fallen. And when you look even more closely, he's a man who loves the Lord. And when you look at what is said here concerning him throughout the psalm, he loves the Lord, he loves the Lord's way, he loves the Lord's statutes. This is a man in love with the Lord, yet at the end of this psalm, he speaks concerning the fact that he's gone astray like a lost sheep. When you come here, you find that this is a man who has known much victory. He says things about his victory as you go through the psalm. How that he was bold when it came to speaking God's testimonies, even before kings. And yet, when we come to the end of the psalm, he has gone astray like a lost sheep. I read this statement to you, and I make this statement to you, because every one of us tonight have battles with sin. We will continue those battles until the day we leave this life and go to be with the Lord. What is it that this man is saying to us tonight in this last verse? If you would have found this verse at the end of Psalm 51, it wouldn't have surprised you. It wouldn't have been anything that was out of the context of the psalm. But when you find this verse at the end of Psalm 119, it is somewhat of a shocking verse. And yet it is indeed, in a proper context, dealing with the actual desires, actual walk of the believer. Tonight I want us to think for a few minutes as to what really constitutes our victory, as stated here by the psalmist. When you sin, how do you get victory to walk with the Lord? Well, there are three helps here in overcoming sin that I want to point to your attention tonight in verse 176. Number one, we must have honesty before the Lord. This man could have easily glossed over his sin. Obviously, he's not merely writing for the benefit of us. He is speaking to the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. And he could have glossed over his sin. I have dealt with people at times who do that very thing. I can remember a man many years ago, a man none of you would know. It was not from this area, and he came to me. His wife had found out of his sin, and he came to me to confess his sin and to deal with his sin. And he was afraid to tell his sin to his wife, everything that he had done. Come to find out about it, he was afraid to tell me as well, and he didn't tell me. And later when it was all known, it was a great tragedy and hardship on him. We have a hard time confessing our sins to ourselves, let alone to others round about us. But here is a man who was open before the Lord. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Compared himself to a stupid sheep that walks away from the shepherd and gets himself into danger and gets himself into trouble. When we confess our sin, we are confessing it to the Lord. And that certainly takes precedent over everything else in our confession. He knows what we have done. He knows where we have been. He knows it better than we do. And he knows exactly what our confession ought to entail. Our confession ought to be defined by the Lord. He is the one who defines what sin is. It's kind of humorous in our society today that when people confess their sins, oftentimes they're not sins at all. And when there are big sins that they have committed, they leave those go. We are to confess our sins, but our sins are defined by the Lord. Therefore, our confession is defined by him. Here is a man who had constant battle with the flesh, as we do. Here was a man who had to know what it was to walk in victory. Obviously, there is victory because he's expressed it throughout the psalm. But now at the end, he's confessing his sin, and he's doing it in a way that pleases the Lord. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. It is the Lord that receives our confession. And when we confess our sins, he is more than willing and freely will forgive our sins. John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yet how slow are we to confess when we have gone astray from him? Our thoughts go astray from him. Our words go astray from him. Our paths at times go astray from him. And here we find the psalmist clearly and openly having an honesty before the Lord. It is the Lord who analyzes our confession. He knows whether the confession is coming from the heart or is something just being coerced by others who know of our sin. He knows whether our confession is full of hypocrisy or whether the confession is full of sincerity. The Lord knows all of that. And here is a man who is not hiding anything from the Lord. Again, it may be difficult to confess sin to ourselves or to others, but we're dealing now with the Lord. Sin cannot be hidden from him. And here is a man coming to the Lord, and he is saying, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. I say the first thing in overcoming sin is an honesty before God, an honesty concerning what has been done and what needs to be done concerning our sin. Secondly, we must not only have an honesty before the Lord, we must have a healthy attitude toward his word. He says here at the end of the psalm, I do not forget thy commandments. He's expressing here a love that he's already stated in the word of God. Even though he has gone astray, yet he still does not forget God's commandments. He still has a love for the book that God has written. Look, if you would, earlier at 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. If he hated and abhorred lying, he would certainly have a lot to hate in our society. Hating, lying would mean hating a great deal of that which is coming forth continually in our society. Look, if you would, again, in the same stanza, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Yes, I've gone astray, but I remember. I know what your commandments are. I know what your law is. I have this love for the law. Now, we can wander, and there's a strange thing about the heart. We can wander away from the book that we love. And this is what the man is expressing. But if you would have a love that is supreme, you will find that the love that you have for God's word will help you overcome. Would you note as well, he internalized God's law. You find that earlier in the psalm. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So here he's telling us that he indeed has not forgotten God's commandments. Why? He took time to learn the Word of God. He took time to think on the Word of God. He took time to memorize and meditate and, as it were, bring it down into his own heart and soul. There's no such thing as victory over sin apart from the Word of God. I don't care what the psychologists tell you. The Word of God is that power that helps us to overcome. It defines our sin. It gives us reason to overcome sin. It is, in many ways, that which gives us a quickening when we want to overcome sin. And that's, again, what he says. It's not merely he has a love for the Word of God and he internalized God's Word, but he desired that life that comes from God's Word. And in Psalm 119, verse 25, he says, "My soul cleaveth to the dust, quicken me according to thy word." 9 times in this psalm, the psalmist is praying, "Lord, quicken me according to your word." He says sometimes, "Quicken me according to your word," and other times it's what is in the word. He's, "Quicken me according to your righteousness. Quicken me according to your loving kindness. Quicken me according to your judgments." Over and over again, that is his prayer. He knew that the word of God would be the means, the instrument God uses to give life to the soul. Isn't that what the apostle said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12? He said that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What is the means by which God quickens us? It's not our just sitting around. It's not reading a book by a secular author. It's not watching the TV or reading the newspaper. What is the means that he uses to quicken us and give our soul life? It is this book that we have before us. It is the word of the living God. So tonight, if you say, "My soul has gone astray like a lost sheep," it's time to pick up the book and read and read, praying that God would quicken you through the book, that you could say to him, "Lord, I've not forgotten your commandments. I've not forgotten what you've told me to believe. I've not forgotten what you've told me to do. Lord, I'm coming to you with your word. Quicken my heart because I've gone astray." Thirdly, we can say tonight we must not harden our heart toward the Lord. There's no way of having victory over sin if we remain in a hardened heart state. This is what he says in the middle of the verse, "Seek thy servant." Now, he's just said that he's gone astray like a lost sheep. And how often, as lost sheep, we don't know the way back. There's entanglements of the heart. There's entanglements with people. And when you see David, after for 7 months at least, maybe 9 months, but at least 7 months, David has wandered from the Lord, and he doesn't know how to get back. He has committed murder, he has stolen another man's wife, and he doesn't know how to get back. He's hiding it, he's in hypocrisy, and what happens? The Lord comes and brings him back. And there are times, brethren, perhaps, that our wandering is such that it so ensnares the heart, that it's like a chain around the heart. And you don't know how to break that chain. You don't know how to free yourself from the sin. What do? Lord, seek thy servant. Come with a heart, not hardened to him like Asa had when Asa fought with the Lord and at the end of his life fought with God's people as well and the prophet. We remember the Lord's purchase, and that is one of the things that keeps our heart tender toward him. Look at what he says. He says, "Seek thy servant." Servant. He was one purchased. He was one owned by the Lord. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, the idea of a servant was one who had been purchased by the blood. And the Lord had used the blood to purchase the servant. And so this was one who recognized his position before God. It was the position of a servant. And tonight, if you want to have a heart that's open toward the Lord, a heart whereby you can say that I'm not hardened toward him, I do want his presence, I do want him to come, you're going to have to focus on the blood, your relationship, as it is in this purchase that Christ has done for you. We remember the Lord's purchase, that we are his servants. It's that purchase that produces the gratitude in our heart. We also remember the Lord's passion. He says, "Thy servant, thy servant." It wasn't just that he was any servant. He was the Lord's servant. It was the Lord who, in his love, came and redeemed him and purchased him. And so this man was coming to the Lord saying, "Lord, I am your servant. I have gone astray from you. And that tells us that even though he is our master, we do go astray at times. But we come back to the one who loves us, who had this glorious passion for his people and came and redeemed us by his blood. We must not harden our heart toward the Lord. We must remember his purchase. We must remember his passion. But we must also remember that we are his possession. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Isn't that the way that we're described in Scripture? We are the sheep. Psalm 23 describes us that way. John 10 describes us that way. We are sheep. And while it's not a very glorious terminology in many respects, sheep wander. Sheep at times display a great deal of stupidity. Sheep get themselves in trouble. And yet that's what we are. Would that we could say in our pride, I've never had any trouble as a believer. I've never said anything I shouldn't have said. I've never done anything I shouldn't have done. But if we say that, we're liars. We are not perfect in and of ourselves. We are sheep. And at times we're sheep wandering. And we need the Lord to bring us back. We are his possession. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 110. Excuse me, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. You didn't make yourself this, he made it. You're a sheep. He came after you, he purchased you, he brought you to himself. Now, in our minds and in our hearts, we thought we were doing the work, that we were running to him. But you were only running to him because he first convicted you of sin. He first showed you the beauty of Christ, and then he gave you power to run. He made you one of his sheep. We are tonight the sheep of his pasture. We are his possession. Therefore, who do we seek? He is the one who purchased us. If he is the one that has shown this great passion and love for his people, if he is the one who owns us, we're his possession, then who do we seek when we sin? We seek him. So we find in this last point, there needs to be prayer unto the Lord when we wander away. You know, the Lord is great in his compassion and mercy. Adam sinned against the Lord, and we find him running from his presence. And that is the heart of even every believer. We sin against the Lord and we run from his presence. And somewhere along the line, the Lord brings us back to our senses. And in bringing us back, we come confessing, Lord, I have wandered like a sheep. Lord, I haven't forgotten your word. I understand what you require out of me and I understand what you want me to do. And then we come and say, Lord, seek thy servant. Bring me back. Give to me what I need in order that I might walk with thee. I wish I could stand before you tonight and tell you that there is no battle. But if I did, I would be lying. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, Paul says. That was his battle. He said that he had to beat his flesh. He had to put it under. He had to mortify or put to death the deeds of the flesh. If Paul had to do that, we all have to do that. And there are times we don't. And when we do, we're like this glorious, great, mighty man of God who throughout this psalm impresses us greatly with his holiness and his love for Christ. And yet at the very end, he says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. What is the prayer? Simply, Lord, seek thy servant. Let's bow our hearts in prayer tonight. Our Father, tonight as we come to thee, we know that our whole nation is taken up tonight with their idols and their desire to please those idols and do whatever they wish to do this night. And yet, Lord, we are here tonight because of your great mercy and compassion and love. Lord, our hearts wander as much as they, except for thy grace and thy moving upon us. And Lord, we would ask tonight, for any here who may have wandered from thy care, we ask, O Lord, that they would this night be sought by thee and brought back. that they would know your strength, your grace, your power, even this week as they would seek to walk with thee. Lord, we have been purchased by thee. Do not forget those whom you have purchased. Lord, we are the object of your love. You have loved us with an everlasting love. You have loved us with an unchanging love. You have loved us with a great love. Lord, do not forsake those that you love. Tonight we are those that belong to thee. We're called by thy name. We are thy possession. And Lord, we would ask for any that have wandered from thee, that they would know their way back as you seek them, and as a good shepherd, come and lay them upon your shoulder and carry them back to the fold. Lord, we're thankful that all who seek thee do not seek thee in vain. Lord, we ask that you would indeed give grace to your people, that they would know great power and victory this week, as they would be honest with thee, as they would know what it is not to be hypocritical in thy presence, but to indeed come with a heart that's tender toward thee and walk with thee and glorify thee in all things. For those that are yet outside of Christ, Lord, we would ask that you would bring them to yourself in salvation. This would be the night that they would confess Christ as Lord and Savior, and this night bring glory to thy great name. Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing tonight. Be with us even as we travel to our homes. Watch over it and protect us. And as the new week begins for many in the work week, Lord, we would ask that we would have power and grace to walk with thee and to show forth to others that we are under the glorious reign of Christ, our good shepherd. Help us, Lord. Give us such power and grace, we ask. For we ask these things in Jesus' name.